Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys for PremierGuitar.com. We're hanging out backstage in the Mars Volta Soundgarden show in Chicago. We're going to go check out Juan, the bass player's rig. Let's go check it out.
I've had this compressor, this Boss CS2 compressor. I've been using that since Racer X. So that was 1986 I started using it because I started going to passive pickups. But, you know, like back then everybody was doing harmonics.
What do you like about that one compared to knowing
it's compressor? Just the most musical one. I've tried so many of them and I still use it. I just got an MXR one that Scott Chiraki developed and I loved it, but I just was too scared to use it because I didn't have enough time with it. He got me it right before I left, so I was just like, you know. But when I get home, it may end up being the thing that I started using, you know. But until then, it's been this compressor because it really does add high end. I mean, if you listen to the difference, like, I mean, obviously it's going to kick up in game, but it's going to kick up in high end. And then I always have it on. I mean, I almost never turn it off. And it just gives me that, you know, a lot of... See how the harmonics are just... It's like Jaco. Jaco's folding cabinets probably gave him a lot of that compression, you know, just because it was, I just think those heads were just naturally being compressed, so.
Before we go any further, I gotta ask you, your guitar looks very familiar in shape and color and size, but it looks like the neck's got something funky going on.
Yes.
And why you use it.
Right, okay, so this is a 1970, I think, or 71 Fender fretless, stock fretless, and I had the lines paint on it because I don't play jazz, so I'm not at the comforts of a nice controlled room. I play rock, so it's like shit in like this big arena that we're about to play is noise. It's hard. It's hard to hear. So like I needed that for guidance, just to give me that extra edge and tuning. And so I had the lines painted on. But usually this neck is just rosewood and it has these black dots on top.
All right.
I have Eric at Eric's Guitar paint the fret lines on it and the dots on it. And I have three basses like this, but it's a stock fretless, so it's not wood grain.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the frets pulled out with wood notches put in it.
And does Fender do that, or is that you have someone?
It's my sound, or maybe, I don't know. Eric at Eric's Guitar doesn't believe it does anything, but to me, if it's psychologically, it does something. So, yeah, and it's stock pickup, P pickup, volume, tone. This is a Stars guitar bridge, which I don't know if you guys know what that is.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so there's a company in the late 70s, Stars Guitars, San Francisco. They became Leo Kwan Badass.
Oh, okay.
But you might be able to see a hint of a star on there, but it's brass, and it's been on this bass since I've owned it, and it's probably been on the bass since the 70s. This is a 70s Bartolini pickup, J pickup. I don't know. It's definitely single coil because you guys can hear it. Watch when I kick this off. Hear that? That's single coil.
Nice, yeah.
But it has to be single coil for effects.
Yeah,
for
me. Otherwise it's going to be too...
It'll activate all this so much more if you have the single coil. So everything about like just clarity and harmonics. You know? But, detuner. I've been doing detuners since they were invented, I think. The guy David just been really nice to me and he gives me them. And other than that, I think that's it for this one.
What else do we have down on the board that you're kind of tap dancing off from night to night?
Let's see. So the vibrato I was showing you. You can hear the bass on harmonics. All those envelopes are this because of fretless with that pedal. It's awesome. So they don't make that anymore, but Behringer makes a really great copy, and it's like $30. But go on eBay, that pedal's about $400, I think.
Wow.
And then the next pedal was my friend Yannick, who I was talking about. Yannick Wisdala. He and I bonded over this pedal. You gotta have this because it's just a super musical octave pedal. All right, then this is the Meatbox, and Meatbox is just sub. It's just speaker popper.
Wow.
And it's going to sound soft in here because you're not going to be able to pick it up with
it.
Yeah. But when it hits those subs out there, it vibrates everything on stage. It's so crazy. But let's see. Can you feel that?
I can feel that
in a sub.
You're probably like on volume one here.
That's all it does. It's just a sub. And this guy here, he's from Ohio. I don't know if you guys have heard of him, Earthquaker. He makes a really great tremolo, but it doesn't have that attack at the front. He sent me one right before we came out, and I was hoping to replace that one, but it still didn't have that attack. But his delayed reverb, I told him, he's like, what could you use? And I said, well, I need a delay and a reverb, and I was thinking he's going to send me two pedals, and he sent me, this. So here, this one, it's a great sounding delay. Let me turn that. But the reverb is really cool too, because I love it on dub bass lines with the flat ones.
Oh, yep.
Subtle. It's super handy because when you're trying to make an economy pedal board, well, there's two knocked out right there.
Yeah.
And then the phaser is this is Pigtronics. He actually did a really good video of me at this Bass Day thing for Bass Player Magazine. They came early and shot a video of me, but it's just really musical. Flat ones, these are the kind of effects that you can still hear with the flat ones.
Yeah.
As a phaser, you can definitely hear it. When I had four pedal boards, Jerry built me four pedal boards. I had a station, so I had like a station very similar to this one, like that faced the drummer, and then I had another station that had like ring modulators, whammy pedals, and a couple of subs. And then back here had like microsynths and I don't remember all the other stuff I had. But I had all my delay pedals up here. Anything I could affect, like with that kind of thing, was up here, so I could just do it up here. So like if it was delays, I could just go crazy up here and manipulate the pedal, maybe a flanger or something that was going to have a drastic effect, with it. Because this one, like I said, this I keep on the same setting, This is on the same setting. Delays you mess with, so you might want to have it where you can but octaves you're not going to mess with it that much. My vibrato setting I don't really mess with, so all these are pretty stationary. You're going to mess with like a flanger maybe because you can get that really fast speed flange sound, or deep envelope-y type flanger, and then delays you can just go crazy tweaking them. I could go crazy tweaking that right now, but there's better things to do. And then, of course, the Line 6 sampler. And I have an M9, which has got a lot of this in there already. I haven't got my learning curve there yet. It's so easier for me to understand this than to like go and program stuff. And, I should discipline myself, and I probably will. But I just want to show you the last one is this one. They don't make this anymore. And this is the one I was playing earlier on.
Set that up and go get a drink or something.
or let Jerry like go crazy or something. But it's just so you can do soundscapes in between songs. We used to always do that a lot. We're trying to hustle through the set because we only get 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So we're just going, we're not doing too much of that, but normally in our old sets, you know, there's a lot of sound getting created in between songs, and so it's just me doing stuff like that. You know, whether it's like that or if it's doing like a sub one. And then doing the same thing on this one. So it's already subbed out, so it's knocking the hell out of the PA, and then you sub it even more. That thing is just bumming people out because it's just so subbed out. You're just hurting them, you know? So I would do stuff like that, just on knocking an octave lower and go in between. You know, that's how you can't really hear it as much in there. Let me see. Messing around, but like I can get more musical loops happening. But and this is just the economy one, you know. Like all the other stuff that I have is at home.
So the pedal board looks like you've got your Ampeg rig.
So they just made these. So I
what do you think of them so far?
I love them. I think they sound awesome. They're super cool looking, and they're so it's 15-15, 2/10s, 2/10s.
What were you playing before you got the PA?
The SVTVRs. Oh, okay. That's what like they when they were owned by a different company. The owner came to me and he said like, "What would you want to see Ampeg do?" And I told him, "Well, my favorite's the blue, the early 70s blue faced SVTs." And they had, you could tell them because all of them had black script around them, but those were light blue. And okay. So I told him those, and he goes, I go, they're more wattage, right? He's like, yeah, they were 325 as opposed to an SVT having 300, if I'm not mistaken. So then they started making them, and they gave me two of the first 10 that they made, and I still have those there at home, but I just wanted to try something different. But yeah, those SVTVRs are awesome.
And are these running stereo, or are these just
stereo,
kind of,
right? Are we stereo theory? I think we are, right? Out of the...
Yeah,
so if it's coming out of the green pedal, it should be stereo.
Okay, cool.
I mean, we could be even more stereo if I run this tremolo out. I don't know. That's not that much. Nobody's going to hear the difference. It's close enough. And again, like, well, I'm getting mic'd now live, but I spent the last 4 or 5 years not getting mic'd.
Just going, yeah.
Well, because the sound man would go, well, you know, you can, I'll throw one up there for you, but doesn't mean I'm going to use it. I'm going to reamp you in Pro Tools so there's no bleed.
Oh, okay.
You know, so soundmen want to isolate things. And so I wasn't even getting, so it just didn't even matter to me. I was just like, this is just monitoring for me. But our soundman, Matt Bittman, he's micing me right now. So now it does matter. So I got to make sure that it sounds tight. But yeah, and again, like I got these and like we started doing shows, so I didn't even get a chance to really mess with them except for like a pre-sound check or something, kind of like this. And so I dialed it in really quick to what I thought it sounded good. And then, I mean, my hands kind of sound the same through almost anything. I just got to get close, you know? But flat wounds, they're their own sound.
Yeah.
So I had to just make it sound good for flat wounds, and I can make this sound, but this is round wounds.
What's your, the gauges you're using?
This is Ernie Balls. They're 105s, 45 to 105s. And I have been using those forever.
And what are your other basses? Yeah, I know that you're using.
This is a 70P fretless, and then I have my 1964 Jazz. It's a real 1964, it's not a relic or whatever. I brought that out with me just because I wanted to have fun playing the best instruments. And then I have a 77, or I think it's a 77 Fender P, but it's modded, so it's like this. See, the other thing I was going to show you. The reason I love PJ setups, I love PJs because P pickups in the front sound like upright to me. I mean, I like having this setup, but I always have a pickup selector. But you can, this is what I always do. Set up so I can, as they call it, terminator executives, a transform.
Do you do a lot of with the knobs, the volume knobs, and the tone?
Yeah,
like, or do you,
yeah.
How do you have it? Are you always rolling them off and everything?
Especially on my, I'll show you this. This is cool, because actually, I mean, I'm sure there's guys who do it. Let me see this one first. I'm sure there's guys who do it, but I just did it one day, and I said, oh, that's my sound for flat ones. So this is flat ones. This is my 64 Jazz Badass. It's all stock except for the Badass Bridge. But if you want to hear this, these are tape wounds. These are tape wounds. So this is volume up, tone up. Then I roll the tone off. And then I think what it does is it maybe makes the pickups out of phase, but I do this. I roll this one off like a quarter, and then this an eighth, and then. More flat ones, like more like Jamerson. It's hard to play these strings because the harder you play, the less low end you have. Yeah. The lighter you play, the more low end you have. So it's an opposite way of playing. I'm always used to hammering down.
Do you ever use picks? Or you always?
I do on this. Yeah, actually, I do too, because it's a lot easier to right to control your string attack. You know. That's what I use on stage for all this, because we're playing mostly new music,
okay. And
it's pretty much the sound, and it's just me offsetting these pickups, so it just gives you that even more dub kind of no high end sound. And that's this one, and then this is my newest one. I got this right before tour, putting it all together, and Harry Nordstrand. Do you guys know Nordstrand is?
Yeah, pickups.
Yeah, he and bases.
California.
Yeah, he makes guitars and basses, but. He made this pickup for me, and it's this one. So I love PJ, just like my fretless. And this is like whenever I use a lot of effects, this is the setup I'll use. So I can do big distorted sounds with the front pickups, or I can do crazy effect sounds with the rear pickup.
Okay.
And this is a pickup he specially made for me. I don't know what he did. Anybody who wants to know could probably email him. He's really good at that.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just the rear pickup. Doesn't sound like a jazz, but it doesn't sound like a contemporary. It's carried it something to the pickup, so it sounds heavy. It's a mess. It's years of me holding up, like, I just like heavier sounding instruments.
Yeah.
I don't like those, like, old 60s P basses that weigh 7 pounds or 8 pounds. Like, they don't sound good to me. I like this, so I just pay for it. I do have a little thing that I put, I have a belt that I can wear where I can rest the body.
Oh, okay.
Because we used to play 3 hours, and that's the only way I could do it is if I rested it on this belt. And it would take the pain off my
shoulders.
Yeah, but right now, 45 minutes.
You can handle it.
Yeah, I can handle it. So that's my stuff up to there right now. I hope you guys.
Awesome. Well, what are you? I know that you guys are working on an album. So how's that come along, and everything else that you're doing?
I mean, it's done. It's mixed. That's pretty much all I ever am privy to know. I'm pretty confident that it's gonna be awesome. I mean, you'll hear it tonight. I mean,
some new music.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I know that you were talking earlier about your website that you do for pedals and stuff.
Right.
How can people go online to check that out as you start to fill up the website and stuff?
Yeah, I'm going to do just kind of how my friend Yannick inspired me. So I'm going to, just set up a camera and maybe just, like, take a pedal like this and do, like, a bunch of really cool settings and just show, you know, like how, you know, how I look at stuff or whatever. I just think, you know, like it isn't cheap. Like I have, I probably have 300 pedals maybe, and it's just, you know, not everybody can afford that.
Yeah.
You know, Omar's head, you know, like I said, he had like 6-7 heavy pedals when I met him. I don't know where they all are. but I was lucky enough to see his pedals, and so he had like this ring modulator that Maestro made in the 70s. That's the best sounding ring modulator. It's awesome. And there, but yeah, I think I saw him buy it. Henry and I were with him, and I think he dropped $1,000 on that thing. That was crazy.
So again, what was the website so people can check it out as you get it rolling? What's the website URL?
It's pedalsandeffects.com.
Awesome.
And then, you know, Facebooks and Twitters and all that. It's my
You're name. All over.
Yeah, so you can hit me up. I love answering questions. I'm a nerd, so.
Awesome. Well, Juan, thank you very much for your time.
Appreciate it. All right, thanks you guys.
Thank you. This is Chris Keys for PremierGuitar.com. Thanks for watching.